Thank you, Sarah. We end our news stories with exciting plans for a play park. Years of proposals to redevelop Anglia Square leaves residents frustrated, and parking issues escalate in a city suburb.
A children's play park that was damaged may have new facilities for skaters and BMX riders in the future. Dussendale Park in Thorpe St Andrews, Pound Lane, has been closed until further notice for safety reasons. The town council said this was as a result of vandalism, but it hoped the facility would be reopened soon. And now a vision has been revealed as to how the play area may be completely transformed in the future. Jonathan Emsell, Conservative District Councillor for Thorpe St Andrew, has been working on plans for the park for 10 years, which could connect the facility to the recently refurbished Sir George Morse Park. Mr Emsell said there would be a square at the top for younger children, a middle area for older ones, and a lower part for younger adults wanting to practice, with a view to creating the next generation of skate and BMX stars for the Olympics. It comes as the play area at the Sir George Morse Park has fully reopened following an investment of more than £60,000 in new equipment. Despite the vandalism, the Town Council is excited our plans for the new play facilities at the Town Hall are a step closer, with an upgraded, accessible roundabout soon to be installed. We are committed to delivering further improvements, which we are looking to fund with contributions from agreed housing developments within the town.
A remarkable treasure which has helped shed new light on Anglo-Saxon Norfolk is to go on display to the public, along with similar discoveries. Norfolk Museum Service raised £6,000 to buy the gold brook bracteat, a pendant dating to the late 5th or early 6th centuries, after it was uncovered by a metal detectorist near the South Norfolk village. Declared treasure trove following its discovery, the museum was able to purchase the artefact so it could go on display at Norwich's Castle Museum in the future. Museum bosses said they are delighted to have secured the item, and a similar, damaged one found at home next to the sea. Dr. Tim Pestle, Curator of Archaeology at Norwich Castle Museum and Art Gallery, said bracteats were a form of Scandinavian jewellery used by Germanic people who migrated to England. He said, until the discovery of a unique hoard in Binham, there had only been single finds and no evidence from Britain that they were deliberately buried, a practice which was common in Scandinavia. When the brook bracteat goes on display at Norwich Castle, it will be exhibited alongside the Binham examples. Dr. Pestle said Roman coins would have been used as reference points for the designs, but as they were copied again and again, they took on distinctly Anglo-Saxon elements. He said they almost certainly reflect the myths and religious beliefs of those people, and given there is no written records which tell us about those, that sort of contemporary evidence is incredibly useful to us. Dr. Pestle said some of the money to purchase the brook bracteat came from Saul Metal Detectorist Group, and part of the money to purchase the home bracteat came from a generous bequest to the museum service by Leona Levine. Miss Levine, who died last year aged 74, was a specialist silversmith in Norwich. A former member of the Friends of Norwich Museum, she and her family used to run Henry Levine & Co. in London Street. Dr. Pestle said, they are just such unusual finds, which is why the museum service was so keen to obtain them and have them all together. I am really looking forward to when we can display these alongside the Binham hoard.
Years of stuttering proposals to redevelop Anglia Square have left people who live and work in the area in limbo. That is the view of many who feel the area has been left to rack and ruin while politicians and developers squabble over exactly what should be done. Chairman of the Magdalen Street Trading Association, James Wade, said he has become exasperated in recent years. The council is not going to spend money in the area until Anglia Square is developed, he said. I do not think the change to make the street one way did any of us any favours, and I think everyone would like to see the place redeveloped.
Motorists living in a busy city suburb have aired their frustrations about the parking situation on their streets. Deborah Gihawi of Ede Road fears there will soon be more of a mounting parking issue in NR3. She and her husband Jamal have Zone J parking permits, and since their son Abraham returned, he has been unable to park as only two permits are allocated per household. She stated that cars to them are vital. Mrs. Gihawi said, "We're now in a bit of a pickle, but a lot of people down here currently don't have cars, and many don't have two. What's the long-term solution?" She explained how during the day when permits are needed to park, the roads are empty, but at night the street is completely filled. "What are we paying for?" she added. "There's no solution. The council could come up with one." Mrs. Gihawi suggested that unused permits from other properties could become available to those in need of additional parking to meet demand. She stated that the council advised Abraham to park in nearby Waterloo Park Avenue, where there's no permit to park, but that has been met with disgruntled neighbours requesting that parking there be reserved for occupants. Permits often solve one problem and create another. It's not a straightforward issue.
A charity shop has reopened 11 months after a Range Rover crashed into the building. Nansa in Thorpe Avenue was forced to close in November after a crunch caused structural damage. But the shop has now reopened to the public. The building's landlord stated the cost of getting the building repaired, including fixing the flat above, totaled £95,000. Amanda Lockwood from the charity said, "It's the cost to the local community of being closed that's the biggest blow. Customers use our shops to recycle their belongings, chat to staff, as well as being able to buy quality second-hand goods." Maisie Ackrell and Imogen Ducker were at the grand opening after raising £86 and £31 respectively to help the charity get back on its feet.
The East Anglian Air Ambulance is closer to being able to update its fleet thanks to a donation from a building products manufacturer. As part of its community fund scheme, Forterra has donated £1,000, which will go towards two new rapid response vehicles. The RRVs are a crucial element of the EAAA's response operations, vital for the transportation of A&E equipment to critically injured patients in the more built-up areas of the East Anglia region. The EAAA, which has its headquarters in Norwich, is a charity organisation. It relies heavily on public support to provide emergency aid to those in need. The charity's highly skilled crews work around the clock, attending to patients across East Anglia. That's all for this edition of Chatterbox. All the features were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Archant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. A gentle reminder that when you have finished listening to this recording, please return the memory stick to us by popping it in the wallet, turning over the address label and putting it in the postbox. There is no postage to pay. You know we always like to hear from you with any feedback or news, so do get in touch with us on the office number 01603 765 365 or email us at contact@cbtn.org.uk. If there is no reply, do leave us a message and we will return your call. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. This evening, your readers were James McGarry and Bridget Cook on part one. Sarah Lusher edited the paper and Stephen Cox was the sound recordist. Don't forget to keep listening, as Chatterbox Let's Talk will follow shortly. So from me, Carolyn Sayer, goodbye.
And from me, Matthew Tucker, goodbye.